and welcome to the Carolina Snowflakes podcast, where two Southerners come to terms with their liberal snowflake tendencies. We're your hosts. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jason. All right, and we're here on our inaugural episode, and we're going to talk today about our snowflake awakenings. The real question I have, you know, that we both have is, when did you first realize, I mean, for you, that you were a snowflake, a dirty liberal snowflake?
A dirty liberal snowflake.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's obvious that we're both Southern, but where'd the snowflake come from?
I would say that my snowflake awakening happened around the age of 13, and that is when I... all by myself.
Little 13-year-old Amanda.
Little 13-year-old Amanda, all by myself, decided that if gay people couldn't get married, that I wasn't going to get married either.
Really? Did you tell anyone?
No.
No? So you just, it was just your little secret. How are you going to change anything?
I don't know. It wasn't a like call to action. It was, it was just more of a belief.
A personal.
It was like a personal
mission.
And I felt really strongly about it too.
So you weren't. You were like, I don't care how handsome he is.
I'm sorry, mister. I can't marry you because the gays can't get married.
Well, maybe that was your logic. You would inspire him. He's like, well, man, I gotta.
Yeah.
Well, did you mix that with no sex before marriage? Because if you mix the two, then you could create it, theoretically, I mean, you're very attractive. You could create an army of people willing to fight hard for gay marriage.
That is, I didn't think about this. Now, see, 13-year-old me didn't think of it that way. I was thinking more just in terms of what was fair.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that it was fair. That gay people who I saw as being like me or like anybody else couldn't get married.
It's not fair.
No.
It's really not, if you think about
but
it.
But now they can.
Yeah. I mean, so you can too.
So but, I can too.
But as little 13-year-old self, I guess.
Yeah.
It was like.
And I don't even remember like how I can't. Like it just happened. I just decided it.
It's interesting that you were.
Because there was no. This was like. Early 90s, so there was no internet for me to like be influenced by. There was no Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just
you just decided.
Yeah, I just decided it.
Weird.
Yeah,
I mean that's pretty noble.
Thanks.
In like hindsight, in hindsight,
yeah,
it's pretty noble. It's just an interesting to decide at 13.
Yeah. Well, what about you? What was your awakening?
So I was a bit older than you were when I had the real moment of awakening.
Mm-hmm.
I was dating a girl at the time. Her name also happened to be Amanda.
What?
Yeah. We'll keep that.
We don't talk about that.
That's a bad coincidence. But, you know, I was, at the time, I was pretty poor. I didn't have a lot of money. And I was very much into rock and punk rock and against authority. And I was reading a lot of anarchist literature. I started with Noam Chomsky. And I found a book called Anarchism and Other Essays, written by a woman named Emma Goldman in 1910.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a woman writing about anarchism in 1910,
And women couldn't even vote?
No.
At that point? No, their opinions didn't really... writing a book about anarchy?
Yeah, yeah, a whole book about it. Yeah, it's an amazing book. And so, you know, I was getting really into it, and I was talking to my ex Amanda, and I said... you got to read some of this. This lady was awesome. And, you know, this was in 1910. It was blowing my mind.
Uh-huh.
And she said, you know, like she was a big kind of, there's a lot of controversy around her, discussion around her in the feminist circles. And at that time I was feminists. Mm-hmm. I don't really know much about that. And she's like, well, she said this thing to me and it changed my whole life. She said, if it's midnight and you don't know where you are and you want to go into a gas station and ask for directions, what do you do? And I was like, well, I walk in there and I'm like, yo, what's up, man? How do I get here? And she's like, yeah. Now, if you were a woman or you were me, let's just say you were me, you would have to scope out the parking lot. You'd have to see how many people were in the gas station. Maybe there's too many. Maybe they're too big. Maybe they're too creepy. Move on to the next gas station. And you're going to have to take all of that into consideration. It's all going to be in the front of your mind. It's not back of your mind stuff.
Right.
I had kind of always thought of oppression or what women went through was like back of the mind stuff. Like, oh yeah, maybe a guy might try to hit on me. But it wasn't But this made me realize my mind exploded because it was, I would never, in no universe would I think, oh yeah, but somebody in this gas station is going to hurt me. I'm right. Just mosey on in there. Hey, I'm white man. Give me directions, sir.
Right, because as a woman in that scenario, you have to look at who's there.
Yeah.
Who's pumping gas? Who's inside the store? Who's working the counter?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to potentially be a threat to me?
That blew my mind.
Yeah.
I had never... And in connection with this lady writing this stuff in 1910, then it also dawns on me like... I mean, pardon the pun here, but the balls on this lady. Right. You know what I'm saying? This is a lady who... She's writing very...
Yeah.
Very, you know, sort of anti-government, let's take down the system stuff. And she's a woman in 1910. Mm-hmm. And that, it still gives me, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it, thinking about the bravery of somebody like that and the intensity and how much she was really fighting against. And it dawned on me in relation to her that this was like an awakening. This was a moment where my whole worldview has now shifted to trying to see those things that I hadn't seen before.
To try to understand women.
Yes. And, well, yeah, yeah. Well, I'd always wanted to understand women, if you know what I mean. But,
goals.
Yeah, yeah. I'd always wanted to be intimate with women, as it were. But to understand, holy shit, I didn't think of that. What other things?
What other things do women experience differently than men? Because as a man, you don't even think twice about walking into a place and assuming that you're going to get the attention that you are entitled to.
Right.
Not going to be hit on or harmed.
The way I thought of it is I could even be kind of a dick about it and still get directions. I could go in there and be like,
right.
Hey, how do I get here and make it snappy?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Bump your way up to the front of the line. Uh-huh. Excuse me.
Excuse me, ma'am.
I am entitled
Excuse
and I have
me,
an important
ma'am.
Question.
Yeah.
You know.
Women I'm can't lost. Do that. Women, damn it.
Women, we have to, well, first scope out the place. If it seems safe, then we need to assume our place in the back of the line in the store and sheepishly wait until we get to the front and don't assume that we're going to be given any kind of useful information.
Yeah, and then kind of have a happier, peppy vibe.
Yeah, like
you really want to be like,
no,
I just need
no,
to get here.
Actually, is when we have to apologize. I'm so sorry. Because we're not buying anything.
See,
you know?
I'm just mind blown again.
Or even then, sometimes we might feel like we have to go in and buy something. You know, like, I'm gonna go buy soda and be like, here's my $1.50. So by the way, can you tell me how to get to, you know, like that's how women have to do it. We have to apologize, we have to be meek, we have to, you know, be mild and not assume or be aggressive or, you know, feel that entitlement because we are not, you know.
And that's why I don't necessarily blame sort of privileged white men who haven't had that mind blow thing happen to them.
Right.
Because it's very easy to just go through your life assuming.
Living in your bubble, living in your white man
like,
privileged
yeah,
bubble.
Yeah, this is just how I do. It's tradition. I if I need directions, I just ask for them. And people are like, oh, hello, handsome, young, dapper sir. I'm here to give you directions. And
right. So it was for you, it was like a combination of kind of that story from your ex Amanda.
Yeah.
And the book that you were reading.
I had read and how inspiring she was because the combination of the gas station story with her writing a book like that made me realize how big of a thing that book actually was. That it was, that's not a trivial thing.
So what did you do with that?
The
moment?
First thing I did was I took the... I mean, literally, I took the filter in my mind off of the word feminism, and I started going, like, I'm going to read feminist stuff. I'm going to type in feminist literature and look at some of the books. And what I learned from that pretty quick, I mean, it didn't take more than an hour or so, was that, like any topic, there is vastly differing points of view, and some of them are garbage, and some of them are true.
Right.
And it's like any other subject, but that is a good thing, because that means there's a lot to explore. To find where you are.
Right. There's a lot of opinions and variants even amongst the same sort of movement
exactly.
of feminism.
Exactly. And I learned that first of all, feminism is some kind of monolith. And I've always heard the expression, you know, black people are not a monolith and neither are feminists or women.
Would you say you identify as a feminist?
Now, I would say I do. I do at least in the sense that women are vastly underrepresented in government and business. And until we have them represented more in business and government than they are,
just everywhere,
then we're not
places of power and authority,
exactly,
decision making.
Yeah, and that as long as we're way behind in that, then we're way behind in like modernity on being civilized. We are still uncivilized.
Right. Do you know that you're living in the South and you're identifying as a feminist?
Yeah, I know.
Or you're holding feminist.
Yeah, I do ideals. Identify as a feminist because I do believe we need to change that until anything like possibly can get much better. You know, I mean, it's the same thing with, you know, poverty or jail rates among the Black community is that they are far more impoverished and far more represented in prison. That's the most positive spin I could put on that, by the way. I'm a representative in prison as opposed to, you know, being jailed. But what I mean is that as long as that's the case, then we're nowhere near anything like being civil or democracy. I mean, democracy is a word that's so far away when we're this disproportionate. And so that's why I would consider myself both a snowflake or a liberal, a dirty liberal, or a feminist or a feminazi or any of the other words you want to use.
Right.
To describe my like sort of extreme views, which I don't see how that's extreme either, because the other side are literally Nazis.
Yeah. But that's the thing I don't understand when they talk about the left.
Yeah, the extreme left.
They call us the extreme left.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Grandma and grandpa,
right.
You know, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders want to give you health care.
Yeah.
How extreme.
Yeah, that is some extreme health care.
Meanwhile, on the right, they have literal Nazis.
Yeah, literal. Like actual Nazis. With swastika tattoos.
Yeah, showing up with their tiki torches
and
chanting.
And then somehow in their minds, there's an equal sign and then a grandma wanting to give you free healthcare.
Right, but somehow grandma wanting to give you healthcare is just
it's out there,
too
man.
Far. It's too far.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I also think people are scared of the word anarchism, which I also learned isn't a scary word because the people who I was reading were a woman writing in 1910.
Yeah.
And Noam Chomsky, who's 187 years old.
Yes, he's really old.
Yeah. And he's talking about these things. And I'm like, well, we have one side portraying these as like terrifying, frightening ideas, but they're all coming from people who aren't terrifying or frightening.
Exactly. And not to forget the word socialist.
Yeah, exactly. Also, that word is coming from people like, I mean, that are not frightening to me at all.
Exactly.
And then the other side has their points of view coming from literal Nazis.
Uh-huh.
And that's a little, I don't see, yeah, that's much scarier.
Not only like literal Nazis, as we said, but like they identify as.
Yeah,
they're
no,
not.
Now,
they're
nowadays.
Not hiding it.
Yeah.
Who would have thought
that
you know, 80 years post World War, like where they fought literal Nazis.
Yeah.
Didn't we get rid of them?
Yeah. Like, I know. I think of all the WW2 vets that are spinning in their graves right now going like, you guys have Nazis running around with torches in America and you're not doing anything about it?
Yeah. Like, didn't we get rid of them?
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
They were definitely the bad guys. I mean, there's no...
No question about
the Nazis as being bad guys.
Yeah.
That's why there are so many video games where you kill Nazis or Nazi zombies.
Nazi zombies.
That's the ultimate video game because you can mercilessly kill them because they're Nazis.
Right.
And we all are in agreement that like, yeah, they kind of had to go.
Nazis bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. And but somehow they've made a resurgence. They're back. And they're like, you know, walking our streets. And
yeah. And then people like us are considered to be extreme
because
we think everyone should have health care.
Yeah. So, somehow that makes us
just
too much.
So if a Nazi
scary even, they're scared. They're like, oh, stay away from them.
My point of view is more like...
The other argument, they also say we're un-American.
Oh, yeah.
We hate America.
Yeah, but
are you kidding
bizarre.
Me?
Yeah. The Nazis were vehemently enemies of America. They declared war. Yeah, it was a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But somehow we are un-American.
Yeah.
Because we're too left or too liberal.
Yeah, and when I'm like, when a Nazi beats the shit out of somebody, I don't think they should get a hospital bill. And that makes me extreme. I don't understand. Yeah. That's bizarre.
We want your, you know, your wounds to be repaired and charge.
Yeah, for if you get beat up for no other reason than your race or gender or sexual identity, we would like you to not have to pay for it.
Yeah, that sounds like a really
pretty extreme.
That's a good infomercial.
Shaun White is aghast at how extreme that is.
That would be a really good infomercial, though. Like,
it would.
We would love for you to.
Yeah.
Have your health care covered when that Nazi beats you up.
Yeah, when a hate crime occurs on you. I know this is extreme, but, you know, Tony Hawk is, his mind's blown by this, but so extreme that, you maybe shouldn't have to pay for that, for getting hate crime against you.
For getting hate crime against.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there. I was pretty liberal. Me and that damn Emma Goldman.
Right. But see, here's the thing. So, like, we both align quite a bit in our views when it comes to all of this, but
yeah,
again, we're in the South.
Oh yes,
we're in, you know, Western North Carolina, which isn't even like the more liberal part of the state. Like the liberal parts towards the middle of the state. We're in the mountains.
Yeah, yeah,
where it's we are
surrounded by people who might disagree,
like disagree a lot. So,
they might like the orange man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like. Defensive even.
Well, on this topic, I do think you and I have a funny story about when we first got together and we started texting each other.
Right. So we met on OKCupid.
We did. Ringing we did. Endorsement.
We're a success story for OKCupid. If anybody is trying to date online and you're having terrible experience, just hang in there.
Yeah.
Keep it up. Just keep trying.
What I expand your radius. I went to 2 hours drive. Like,
yeah, expand your radius. Lower your standards.
Lower your standards. I you could do one or the other,
or both.
Yeah, I found I kind of kept my standards where they were, but I expanded the radius of the search because I was in my sort of mind. I'm a pretty liberal, pretty extremely liberal guy, yeah. Considered to be.
Yeah.
I did the bunny air quotes there. So I knew that I might have to look a little farther to find somebody who was compatible. Mm-hmm. Cause I mean, there was a lot of girls on there who I'm sure, would have been fine with meeting up with me, but yeah. We would have not.
They would have shown you a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. But they wouldn't have shared any sort of political beliefs at all. They would have probably not even really thought about it. And if I started bringing up books from 1910, they probably
would have been like, ew.
Yeah, who the hell are you?
Get away.
Yeah, I had to find a girl who didn't immediately run when I said. I had to find
a girl who was like, oh,
yeah,
nerdy.
Yeah, I read this chick who was writing in 1910. And yeah,
feminism. Yeah. And I was like, ooh, I like this.
Yeah, yeah. I had to. So I was willing to expand my radius.
Right.
And when we were talking, I remember...
This was before we met.
We were texting. Yeah, we hadn't even yet met in person. We were talking on text or on OKCupid. You know, I don't even remember. It might have been on our phones.
It was text.
It wasn't. I couldn't remember. And I remember saying... I remember kind of going like, hey, so I have this like tendency to like socialist literature and anarchist literature. And it's pretty extremely left stuff. And you... I think one of your cats had escaped.
No. I was at work.
Oh, okay.
You sent me that text. I was at work. I was really busy.
Ah, you were like swamped in the weeds. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, but we had been texting back and forth
mm-hmm.
and no real pause. But then suddenly work was busy, so I had to like stop texting.
And it freaked
I didn't reply to your text for several minutes.
Oh, yeah. It was like 20 minutes.
Yeah, and then the next thing I know, I get another text from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I look down and it's like, so sorry if that offends you or
my bad.
If
I'm
you're
not
offended
that
by my like socialist views.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so cute.
I was scared. I genuinely thought she read that and was just like,
yeah, you thought I had read it and then just threw my phone. Like I yeeted my phone out the door. Nope.
Yeah.
But that, no, I hadn't had time to respond. And so when I get your follow-up apology, I thought it was so cute. And I was just like, oh, bless his heart.
Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, no, I scared her. I shouldn't have used the S word, damn it.
Socialism.
Yeah.
But as it turned out, I was like, oh, no, I'm totally a socialist, too.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Or at least into socialist theory, democratic socialism.
Yeah, democratic socialism.
The name socialism is humongous. It does have
like some negative connotations to it on the far end of things. But, right. You know, generally speaking, we do kind of fall in the, yeah. the democratic yeah. socialist
and
point
in fact,
of view.
That's kind of the theme of my story here is that like these words, anarchist, socialist, feminist, mm-hmm. are words that have bad connotations. But they're so broad that people don't understand, and there's much to get to.
It's I don't even know if it's like bad connotations is the right way to say it. It's more of just like misunderstandings and also misapplying the words by the other side.
Huge words. They're very big words.
The other side takes those words and they redefine or they pick and choose what parts they think are, you know, the definition for those words, and then they beat the hell out of them and say, like, this is why it's so bad. And, you know, socialists are just a bunch of commies and they hate the United States of America and our freedom and our flag and eagles. They hate eagles.
They hate eagles. They just want to pelt eagles with eggs.
They want to beat eagles.
Yeah. Just hate on
you
eagles.
You eagle beater.
It's weird. I know the communist part. I never really identified with. I don't want to live with a bunch of other people.
No, when I think of communism, I think of Russia. Yeah. And bread lines.
And I think of like living with a bunch of other people, which is not my bag. I mean, if some people want to do that, that's cool. But that's I don't want us all to do that. Like communal living is
that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no offense to people who are into that.
No, no, if it's your thing, it's your thing. But not for me.
I personally am not into like. No, thank you.
Yeah, I'll pass.
I don't
want to
share a shower with like 15 other people. I
don't
did that
really
in college.
Smell more than like two other people's farts. Like that's the maximum amount of other farts I'm down for.
Yeah. Like, listen, we all have a fart limit. Yeah. You know, and I'm sorry, but yours and the dog.
Yeah,
that's
enough. That's
I can't
all
handle anymore.
Yeah, that's. But you know, whatever floats your boat. But the idea of communism just didn't have the same appeal to me. But when I heard socialism, I'm like, well,
right. But they interchange it.
Yeah, I know.
They interchange and say socialism is communism.
I know, and to me, those two words have way different meanings.
For sure.
If you, I mean, what I've read about it, they're vastly different things. In fact, I guess it would technically be that communism is a form of socialism.
Right. And I think when you and I use it, we're thinking especially along the lines of, as we said, healthcare.
Yeah.
Socialized medicine. Right. Socialized healthcare.
Exactly. Yes. Or the post office or the fire department.
Yeah. And I wonder sometimes if people even realize that those institutions are socialist.
Socialist institution. Yeah. Very much so.
The post office is socialist.
Yeah. The fire department.
The public library.
The police.
The police.
The military.
Those blue badges that these people so adore and hold up are, that's a socialist.
We pay our money into taxes, and then they use that to make the military. What do you think that is?
What is socialism?
Yes, correct. You win. Because, the idea of taking
our roads,
taxes from people. Yeah.
Our roads that we drive on, that is socialism.
Uh-huh. And those things are pretty okay. I'm down for it.
Yeah, I like being able to drive on a road.
It makes me not scared of that word.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because you have an understanding of the true definition. And I think a lot of times the reason that they get such negative press is because people either don't take the time to learn the definition or they misapply a new definition. They redefine it.
Yeah, they make
to make
their
it
own
negative.
Weird one. Yeah.
Like feminism, for example.
Yeah, it means we want all women or all men to die and us to make artificial sperm
where
we never have to have any anymore. It's like
the real definition of feminism is just equality.
Right.
Women to be equal.
Equal in opportunity.
Equal in opportunity.
I think that's another big thing. People mix up the word equal. We're not saying that a man is a woman. We're saying that they have the same opportunity.
Opportunities.
Yes.
And chances.
Equality of opportunity. That's another mind-blowing moment.
But
you did that one to me.
Did I?
Yeah. You were the one who taught me. Because I was like, there are some differences between men and women, though. I don't really think a woman could, like, go be a linebacker in the NFL against all those men and not get her ass kicked. I mean, like, Because they're the biggest men ever.
They're huge. They're like 6'5" yeah, and 375 pounds.
Yeah, and I'm like, if somebody just wants to do it, that's not enough. But you were the one who told me that it's not about where somebody is. It's about the opportunity that they have. Right. And that if a woman was stronger and good enough, she would be able to do that. And I was like, well, hell
right,
yeah.
You wouldn't just automatically dismiss just because she is a woman.
Right. But as soon as you were like, okay, well, this person, regardless of if they're a man or a woman, is not nearly big enough or strong enough, mm-hmm. then it doesn't matter anymore. It's just the right. equality of opportunity. It's about, you taught yes. me that. And yeah. That's another mind-blowing moment.
A little awakening.
Awakening in my life, because that's something I've applied ever since you said it to me. Because mm-hmm. I used to kind of struggle with the equality thing.
Right. And I think a lot of people do, because like you said, they tend to think of equal as in we're the same.
Right. And that's obviously not true. Some people only have one leg. Some people have three legs. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Right.
Well, one guy did it at Guinness World Records thing. He had three legs. He looked like a table or something. It was weird, man.
Was it like a functioning leg?
Yeah.
Really? It like walked?
Yeah. It came out of the side of his other leg, like in the crotchal region.
What?
And it came down and it had a foot on it too. Yeah.
Did he?
I can't remember what that guy's name.
Did he wear a shoe?
Yeah. He's
wow. What kind of conundrum is that? You have 3 feet.
Two rights. Yeah.
You have 3 feet though.
Yeah.
Well, shoes only come in pairs.
He was always having to buy 2 pairs of shoes and just having one to throw out.
No.
Yeah. Well, he could have made friends with somebody with one leg, right. And they could have worked out a deal.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good idea. Put that on the Craigslist. Like, seeking friend with one leg.
For shoe butt purchases.
For shoe. I mean, let's talk shoes.
Dude, we need to start that. That's a good idea for a website.
What? The shoe?
Shoes, gloves. Anyone, if you have one of an appendage that most people have two of,
uh-huh.
a place for you to find someone else. Who happens to have the other
find
one?
Find your.
So you don't always have to keep
what
buying
they call
pairs.
That, like a glove buddy.
Yeah, a glove buddy or a shoe buddy.
That kind of sounds
a shoe sock buddy. Glove buddy
sounds a yeah. little adult.
Yeah, it sounds like a subsection of the bear community.
Looking for a glove buddy.
A glove buddy. Yeah, that does sound.
Yeah, we're gonna not. Let's not do that.
That actually might be a thing on Adult Friend Finder.
It
I don't want
to. It's probably like an identity. Like, oh, we God. Just don't know about.
I really don't.
We're nude.
That's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, yeah, that would be a good idea for a website.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could do it for
but
shoes.
But that poor guy and his third leg, I just...
Yeah. Well, that was just a random thing I said. It was in Guinness
Did
Book
he ever
of
just
Records.
Get tired of standing on the other one?
I didn't know him. I didn't, like, hang out with him.
Well, you...
I just read about it.
I just have so many questions about this guy and his extra leg.
We're going to have to Google that.
I'm going to have to look that up later.
We'll refill you in
yeah,
about
Yeah, we'll follow
that.
Up later.
There's going to be a follow-up to the three-legged
man story.
The man in the
Guinness Book with his extra
sure.
leg. Yeah, we'll look into that and let you know.
All right, and you can get back with us next time to find out more about the three-legged man. And if you want to contact us, we are on Facebook at
facebook.com/Carolina Snowflakes.
And you can also email us at Gmail.
Carolinasnowflakes@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys. Bye.